Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. We thank you for listening and coming back to the podcast. We've been off for the last few weeks since the regular season ended. So on this podcast, we're just catching up on some of the coaching news. Luckily, no major coaching news because the Lions actually had a successful year, so not too many people gone, although people like to do Staley and stuff. We'll get into all that. And then we'll just be previewing the Super Bowl a little bit. Kansas City, Philadelphia, in Arizona. Should be a great one. We talk about some Super Bowl props, some of the players to look out for, and then give our ever famous, of course, predictions. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for a Super Bowl podcast. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back, and it's the first time we're back since the end of the regular season where the Lions had that big victory in Lambeau to knock the Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs and the Lions to get over the 500 mark for the first time in a few years, go to 9-8 and build up all the momentum for the next Super Bowl run. But right now, on this episode, we'll be talking about this upcoming Super Bowl and reacting to some of the coaching news that we haven't had a chance to discuss in the past couple weeks. But before we do, introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got UJ.
That's me. Hey, Lions fans.
And then Rud Dog.
Yo!
All right. So, man, we have a few things to talk about in regards to the Lions coaching. First of all, the big news to start is that Deuce Staley is not staying around. Unfortunately, he is going to the Carolina Panthers. It appears related to a couple of things. It's hard to tell what it's more related to. But Frank Reich got hired there as the new head coach, and Deuce Staley. One of the reasons he came to Lions because he got the associate head coach label. But I think he's realizing he needs to be a coordinator of some sort. So I do think he has a chance to be an offensive coordinator there potentially. Now they haven't specifically laid out what his role will be there yet. But also, I guess it's his mother, I believe, right, UJ, that has some health issues.
Yeah, his mother was ill, and he wants to be close to her. And the Lions released him so that he could be closer to his mom, who's ailing. So it was a nice move from the Lions, I think. I think they appreciate everything Deuce did for him. So, I think it was just a classy move by the Lions organization.
But hard to hype family if you stop a man from going to take care of his mama.
Exactly. Bottom line is we dropped the deuce. Lions.
No.
Oh, man.
Are you the one that said that in chat? I want to give credit where credit's due to Connor to use that one.
I couldn't help that one. Sorry. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. My memory doesn't go back that far. So.
Okay, so yes, Deuce Staley moves on. So the Lions go out and get a guy named Scotty Montgomery from the Indianapolis Colts. He is a highly respected running backs coach. Obviously, the running backs in Indianapolis the past few years have been very, very good. He's been around for a while. He was also around Denver for a year, that was his playing years. He was hired to coach receivers in Pittsburgh. And one of the players that he coached that year was Antoine Randle-L, our wide receivers coach currently.
So he's been around for a while, but highly respected, especially with his work with the Indianapolis Colts the last couple of years as a running backs coach, especially coaching the lead running back in the NFL in rushing yards, Jonathan Taylor. So that's a, you know, if you're going to lose a top guy, you know, it sounds like we got a pretty good replacement at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks good to me. I mean, for everything I read. So I got to trust the organization for doing the right thing. But let's go on to the next one, Z. Who else did we get?
Do you want me to say it or you want to say it?
No, I love you.
I did Run Dog. Run Dog, do you have any opinion on the running backs, coach, before we move on?
Oh, well, it first of all sucked to lose Deuce. That was a bummer because, you know, it just is what it is. But, yeah, no, this guy sounds solid. I don't know if he'll match Deuce's energy, but I have a feeling this next guy we're about to talk about is going to fill some of that energy gap.
Are you talking about a guy named Dre Bly, a familiar name?
Oh, yeah.
From the Lions?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about him.
How about it? I didn't even know Dre Bly was on the radar for a coaching circle. It completely went over my head that he was the current cornerbacks coach in North Carolina.
You don't know who all the cornerback coaches in college are, Z? I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, I know. I'm disappointed myself, too. 11 years in the NFL. Made the Pro Bowl with the Lions at cornerback. He also played for the Rams for 3 years, the Broncos for a couple, 49ers for one end of his career. But, I mean, just a very good career in the NFL. And he won the Super Bowl with the Rams, too. So he has that experience. But I don't know how much of it was on him, but the North Carolina Tar Heels are one of the worst passing defenses in the entire country. but North Carolina also runs a really fast paced offense. So you're going to give up more yards naturally when you play that type of game plan on offense.
Right. He was a fun player to watch.
I don't know if that's a concern, but clearly he's a guy that has a lot of NFL experience and that fits right in with the Dan Campbell coaching hires, getting former players in the building.
Right. He said he thinks that's one of the reasons Campbell hired him is because of his passion. He says he's very passionate, a relational guy that, you know, they don't just tell players what to do, but they can show them because they've been there and they've done it. And I think that continues the trend that Campbell's on, hiring these ex-players. And so far, it's really worked. I can't fault him for his philosophy and keep doing it, man. And it seems to be working. I think you're going to see a lot more people copying us, believe it or not, in this league, what's going on. I mean, we haven't won the Super Bowl yet, but I think you're already seeing people that are liking what we're doing here in Detroit. So, yeah, look for more of that.
Yeah, I like, too, that it's not just a former player, but it's a former Lions player. Like, I like already that's, like, the case with our head coach. I like bring in more guys. Like, start, like, a whole new way of looking at, like, NFL players almost, like, I have a feel like you're right, UJ. Like, could like what if they start like recruiting out of like college, out of the league for like developmental prospects for the, you know what I mean? Like, you're about to retire, man. What have you thought about coaching yet? Like, you want to come help us be a?
Yeah,
I don't know. You know what I mean though? Like, with there's something to it. I obviously there's that shared experience. It just makes sense. I don't think it always guarantees success by any means.
No,
but there's something to it.
Yeah, because you play the game doesn't mean you absolutely coach it, you know. But there is still a skill to coaching, which hopefully these guys possess. But, you know, if you have the shared experience on top of that and the passion to go with it, then that's just a bonus, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And one more coaching hire we should mention, a guy by the name of Steve Heiden, former Cardinals tight ends coach. He's had various roles in the Cardinals organization the last 10 years. He was hired by the Lions. The Lions have a tight end coach named Tanner Engstrand. But he was also the passing game coordinator last year for the Lions. And it seems like this hire means, and UJ and I were talking right before we went live here. It seems like Tanner actually is not getting demoted. It seems like a slight promotion for him. Like, he, Ben Johnson, the way things are trending, will be a head coach next year if things keep going in the direction that they are in the organization. And they seem to be grooming this guy to be the next offensive coordinator, potentially, which goes also in line with Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell being former tight end coaches, transitioning into offensive coordinator role.
I love it. Start grooming. Build your guys from inside so you don't have to recruit outsiders.
Well, seems
do you think there's something with the tight ends coach being a good offensive coordinator? Is that because they are involved in like pretty much every part of the offense besides
you think they're grooming him? You think they're grooming him for the OC job? See?
Tanner Engstrand?
Well, yeah, he's a good, but I thought you were talking about the other guy they had just hired from the tight end coach.
Steve Heiden? No, I think they're grooming Tanner Engstrand.
Oh, yeah, okay. I agree. I misunderstood you. Okay.
Our current tight ends coach.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know much about him, but I'm sure we'll learn more as we go on here. But I just wanted to mention all those coaching hires. I should also mention Aaron Glenn. He is out of the Cardinals head coaching. He is one of the final three or four candidates, but he's not a finalist there anymore. But as we currently speak, he's still a finalist for the Colts head coach job. Yeah. But the Colts, I think, are waiting until after the Super Bowl maybe to make their hire, whether it's an Eagles offense coordinator, Shane something, I can't remember, Steichen, I believe is his name. Basically, if they haven't hired him yet, they're waiting for somebody else that is on one of the two coaching staffs in the Super Bowl, because there's no other reason to wait, it seems. So
yeah, I just want to say one last comment on the coaching thing. You know, every year you can't stay the same in the NFL. Remember the one year we were with who was coaching us at the time? I can't remember, but we liked our team and we decided to basically stay pat with our team. And the next year we just fell flat on our faces. There has to be new blood injected every year into teams, not just players, but I think in coaching staff too. So here we got three or four new faces with the coaching staff. We're going to have who knows how many new players on this team next year, probably, 10, 11 guys. But I think it's the nature of the thing. And you have to keep that fresh blood coming, man. You have to keep it coming. And I think this will only help our coaching staff in the long run, especially if Campbell's building a great organization like he's building right now, place where people want to come to play and to coach. It's just nothing but good for this team. A little fresh blood can't hurt, man. So
absolutely. And plus, like, it's Dan Campbell's going to be like the mainstay, not, everything under him is going to shift and sway because that's just the nature of how these, a team works. But like, as long as he's there and he's consistent, he should have no problem switching out underlings and new people, because that's what happens in the NFL.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. So that's the end of coaching front. But let's shift gears a little bit, shall we?
Okay.
And let's talk about the Pro Bowl really quick. I unfortunately was moving and things of that nature. I did not get a chance to really indulge at all in the Pro Bowl events. I heard good things. I don't know if you guys watched or if you have anything to highlight. I only saw Amon-Ra jumping in the pool and making some cool catches. And I think he won the best catch
competition. He did.
See the pool one.
I'll give my quick commentary on it because I actually did watch most of it. And I haven't watched a Pro Bowl in years because it's just been so dreck, so awful. And I just happened to be home bumming around, not doing anything that day. I was sitting on a couch and I just had it on. And it kind of, at first I was kind of, this is stupid, But then as it went on, I started enjoying it a little more and more and seeing how they tied in these competitions into the final score of the game and stuff. And it was actually fun watching, a lot more fun than the past Pro Bowls. They throw a little entertainment in there, bring a band on. They do these different competitions and all counts toward the final score at the end. And the flag football was actually not too bad. So I think all in all, it was way better than anything they'd done in the past. I'm not saying it's a must watch yet, but it was far better than it has been in the past. So I think they went the right direction.
And I think they had 40,000 people watching the flag football or something around that.
There was a lot of people there. There was a
crowd watching a flag football game. So.
Yeah.
I think moving away from any pretension of a real game was the right call. Like,
hey, but
these
guys
aren't there to put their body on the line for like a glorified popularity contest. Like,
no, you're right, bro. You know what I mean? But hey, listen though. When they get in there playing their flag football, they want to win too. So it's like us going out there playing in the, Turkey Bowl or whatever. We want to win. And so they start getting a little serious, you know, it's not,
yeah, but it's not tackle football. I mean,
no, it's not. But still, they're competitive guys and they want to win, and it's kind of fun. That's all.
No, I like it. I like that they got them competing, just not, you know, pretending to do a really lazy game or something.
And then watching the Manning brothers go against each other was really fun. Them coaching, trying to coach the other one.
Wasn't Pete Davidson there for some reason?
I don't know why that guy is.
For some reason, Amon-Ra St. Brown had his tattoo on his arm, on his bicep.
A real tattoo?
Yeah, it wasn't real.
So. You could see like the whole like peel or whatever, but I was like, I don't like. I'm with you, UJ. I don't understand this mystique around.
Nobody
Pete
does.
Davidson. He has this weird like. I hear people who will talk about him with like this level of reverence, and I'm like, why?
He's like one of the ugliest dudes around. He wasn't funny on Saturday Night Live, but he dates the most beautiful women, man. Like he I don't know, Kate Beckinsale.
That's what he's known for, dating people.
I don't know
how though. Like, yeah, I don't know how he came up.
Anyways,
yeah, whatever. Let's move on. Enough on him.
All right. Like,
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
So let's get to this Super Bowl really quick. We're just going to be breaking down the Super Bowl and just some quick thoughts to wrap up the second half of the podcast here. So did you guys watch the AFC-NFC championship games?
Yes.
They were, well, one was extremely boring and like an exhibition game, really, essentially, for the Eagles. Going against a fourth-string quarterback and Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson, who's like played for half the NFL teams. Unbelievable. But it was one of the worst NFC conference championship games you'll ever watch. It was terrible.
Well, Hassan Reddick just broke the game right out the door by just breaking Purdy. And then it was just all downhill from there. He went off in that game.
He did. He had a great game. But
he's had a great year for them. What a signing by them.
Yeah.
I hope the Lions can maybe go get someone like that free agency this upcoming year. But anyways, so blowout there. But then the Chiefs Bengals had some of the wild stuff going on in that game, including repeating a third down.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you'll ever, like, I've never seen. The announcers never saw. It was a really bizarre play. But actually, the Bengals sacked him anyways the next play. But still, there was some very questionable officiating in that game. If I was a Bengals fan, I'd be livid.
Oh, no kidding. It was horrible. You know, but it's been bad. Look what it did. Kept the Lions out of the playoffs. If you look at the Seattle game, I think the NFL still has problems with officiating. And they really do need to address it. That's why there's all this talk about that, you know, it's fixed. They want certain teams to win. Because you know why? Because it looks that way. It just does.
Yes.
So whether they're trying to or not, it's not a good look for the NFL.
It happens every year, though.
I know.
There's no shortage of evidence for the conspiracy.
And most of the time, if you just swallow, you know, just don't throw the flag, people are generally more happy. Like, but these refs just love to throw the flag.
Yeah.
Like that roughing the punter in that Seattle Rams game was just ridiculous. Like, no need to throw the flag.
Nope.
But they just
I'm imagining the guy who just didn't throw the flag in that Saints game when, like, that pass interference.
Yes.
I'll be like, this guy gets it right here. See, I didn't throw the flag.
Didn't you just want that?
Hey, but one call they did make
right. I'm talking about like these 50-50 one.
Yeah, but the one call they did make right was the out of bounds hitting Mahomes late. Unfortunately, that was just a right call. And God, it cost it. I was rooting for Cincinnati in that game. And
yeah, but that was actually the right. That was one of the few right calls.
I said that. That's what I said. It was actually the right call. And yeah, but man, that guy has to feel like fucking dog shit after that.
I'm sure he does.
I feel bad for him. I was mad at him at first, but then I felt bad for him. Anyway.
But yeah, so that leads us into this game. Chiefs, Eagles. Eagles 1.5 point favorites. The over-under is 50.5, so they're expecting a fair amount of points in this one. Who do you guys like off the bat? I mean, the Eagles, you got Sue and Slay back on the same defense. How about that?
Probably. I think the Eagles have the better roster overall. I think they probably have the best roster in football this year.
Oh, yeah. But the best quarterback
on the other side. So it's like they're always in any game. And it's like, I mean, they're not like a hapless team on defense or anything either. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, you know, it's that offensive line for the Eagles. It's so good. I just don't know. That could be the difference maker. If they can just dominate and that, like, how do you stop all the weapons of the Eagles? I don't know. I don't know if the Chiefs defense is up to that task.
The Chiefs defense has been pretty solid this year, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's one of the best, maybe the best offensive line in the entire league. Yeah. And you got all the weapons
The Chiefs do have the best defensive player in the game, though. Chris Jones.
Oh,
Chris Jones
is an absolute monster. Beast. He's a monster.
He is so much fun to watch.
So good. He is so good.
Yeah.
But that being
said, Aaron Donald-esque in terms of his impact from the inside.
Oh, yeah. That being said,
not quite Aaron Donald level, but close.
Well, I don't know.
He is a beast. You have to double team him constantly, which frees up the rest of the team. But, you know, I do think the Chiefs have a quarterback edge here. So.
Oh, definitely big difference. Edge.
And he's had two more weeks to heal up that ankle. This is his third Super Bowl now already, which is he's ridiculously good.
But he is. But that's also another thing, though. The Eagles have a very good defense, and I think overall it's going to be a tough game because both teams have a lot going for them. But I understand why the edge is slightly in the Eagles, just because I think overall. They're the most deep, well-rounded roster.
Yeah, well, you guys might.
You
guys might not agree with me on that one, but Eagles are just gonna win this handily. They're gonna win this by at least two scores. Eagles. Yeah, I think the Eagles are gonna just dominate this.
Repeat
game.
That again, UJ.
The Eagles will dominate this game. They will dominate this game, win by at least two scores.
Wouldn't surprise.
It's gonna turn into a boring Super Bowl, and the Eagles are gonna win it going away.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks for being boring and jumping two segments ahead, UJ.
Did I do that?
I appreciate that.
Did I do that?
Our Super Bowl predictions.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about. Sorry.
I mean, it's fine. If you think it's a blowout, then, you know.
Fuck that.
But. I don't know. You know, the Chiefs have played a lot of close games all year. The Eagles have not been tested in like a month.
What
they were playing a Giants team that was resting all their starters, a 49ers team that looked like just completely hapless and useless without a quarterback that was like functional, basically.
They had to weather the fury of that defense who was trying to take the entire game on its back. I mean, those penalties certainly helped, but like, I mean, that's a tough defense and they managed to, you know, handle it pretty well.
Yeah, I just don't think this. I mean, this Eagles team did not look good at the end of the regular season and hasn't really been tested in two games in the playoffs so far. So I think there's something to that. The Chiefs got through a much harder AFC. I thought the AFC was much stronger than the NFC this year, and them coming out on top, I think, has something to do. Also, in the Super Bowl experience, I think there is something to that because there's a lot more rest and stuff like that in the Super Bowl. especially at halftime, that does not happen during the regular season. That's unique for the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl halftime is like 30 minutes long, and normal halftime is 15. That's a long time to rest and recharge. You could take a shower and maybe even a quick nap in between for how long that halftime is. Unless the power goes out, then it's an even longer halftime, like the Ravens 49ers one with the Beyonce halftime cutting all the power out. But nonetheless, is there any Super Bowl props you guys like? I'll ask you, heads or tails?
Tails.
I go heads, but I might go tails this year because heads, as our producer Kid Jay said, has won four of the last five. So
tails never fails.
It always fails is what I said. Tails always fails.
Nope.
But I might be going tails with you actually this year. Just because.
Give us another one, Z.
I mean, I'm going to tell you my favorite prop in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You have to go, the juice is a little heavy on it, but Quez Watkins under 1.5 receptions. This guy has two catches only like three times all year. And most recently hasn't even had it in the last eight games. He's had like injuries. And I think with this being the Super Bowl, Devonta Smith and AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert are going to get all the targets. And Quez Watkins might get like one quick screen or like a 2-minute drill catch like 4 yards out. But Quez Watkins under 1.5 receptions. That's the Super Bowl bubble bet.
Under.
That is the best Super Bowl bet. Prop bet you'll get.
Under.
Okay, but I'm going to go with he's going to score the game-winning touchdown.
That's great, as long as it's his only catch of the game.
Hey, Z, how many...
Good for him if he does that.
What's the bet for Kelsey? How many catches? Over-under for Kelsey catches? 10? 15? Ooh, yeah. Travis Kelsey.
I will... I'll have to look that up in a moment here.
That guy has been an absolute. I mean, Mahomes leans on him so heavily, and that guy still gets open. I don't know how he does.
So Travis Kelce's receiving yards is 79. This is for FanDuel. 79.5. I have to look at the receptions here. I'm looking on FanDuel right now. So
over under 79. Wow.
It's going to be fun for a tight end.
I would probably take the over on that too, honestly. So. He relies on heavily. Nobody can stop him, apparently. So.
I know. It's crazy. And the two brothers going at it this year.
Crazy.
It'll be
I'm still looking.
The Kelsey brothers.
Receptions. I'm going to. Give me 1 second. All right. Kelsey, 7.5.
Over.
This is over-under. Over. And the under is pretty heavily juiced, actually. So
over.
What does that mean?
And the weak part of this Eagles defense is their linebackers. Juiced means like you're not paying even odds. You have to pay like $150 to win $100 or $15 to win $10. It's not 10 for 10.
Over.
That's what juice means.
Over.
This is where we learn about sports betting on this podcast.
Well, teach me because I lose everything.
Yeah, but AJ Brown, 5.5 over under. Dallas Goedert, 4.5. These are receptions, obviously. Devonta Smith, I don't know if you guys watched him the second half of the year. He has looked.
That catch he made against the 49ers was ridiculous along the sideline.
The catch, non-catch?
Yeah, you're right.
It actually wasn't a catch if they challenged him. But,
maybe. It was close.
But he's been beasting. And A.J. Brown, remember, they traded a first-rounder for him, and it's worked out very well. Also, it works out for the Eagles that they had another first-rounder anyways from the Saints. So they actually still have a high draft pick this year and got A.J. Brown. So.
It's pretty good
deal
in that
nicely for them.
Yeah.
But man, so those are just some of the Super Bowl props. Actually, let me go to the popular ones are always fascinating.
How about the national anthem time? Is that still a prop bet?
I don't think so. It just because it's so you only find that in like offshore books, like Bovada or something like that, because it's so iffy. But what will be the color of the first Gatorade poured on the winning head coach? Yellow, green, lime is +130. Orange is +320. And blue is 3-1. Red and pink, 6.5-1. Water is 10-1. And purple is 10-1. What color are we going with?
Yellow.
I go with the green. Yeah, green.
Yeah, that seems most obvious because the Chiefs also have yellow in their colors a little bit. So, but yeah.
Well, I figure it's the flavor that you're drinking. Like,
oh, this is a fun one. Will there be a scoregami in this game? If you're not familiar with scoregami, that is a unique score in the NFL that has never occurred before.
Ooh.
So like 39 to 38 probably hasn't happened in the NFL. I'm just throwing, I don't know if it has or not, but
scoregami.
So 18 to 1, there will be a scoregami minus 8,000 for no.
I'm going to go with a yes.
Scoregami.
It would have to be a really bizarre score.
Yeah. That's so weird. I never heard that.
You mean
before,
a score that's never happened in the Super Bowl before?
A score that's never happened in the NFL, period.
Oh, in the NFL, period. Oh,
yeah. These odds would be much lower if it was just the Super Bowl, period.
It sounds like you put something.
There's a Twitter account with the scoregami. They always tweet it out and people go crazy about it for some reason.
It sounds like something
I've never heard that.
But those are some. Oh, so before we go into our predictions for the game, well, I guess this will coincide with your prediction, actually. So, UJ, what is your final score prediction, since you already said who will win?
Okay, I think it's going to be like 32 to 17. I think the Chiefs are going to struggle to score, is what I think. They're going to struggle to score, and the Eagles will wear them down. That Eagles offensive line is frigging awesome. I don't know if you've seen in that game. I mean,
the Chiefs have a pretty elite offensive line, too.
I'm telling you. This
it's not like it's a one-way street in this game.
It's not a one-way street. I agree, but I just think the Eagles are just better. I think, like Red Dog said, they're just a better all-around roster from head to toe. But I'll tell you, I don't know if anybody watched, I think it was the NFC Championship game or the game before that the Eagles played. There was third and one or something, and they did a quarterback sneak, and they showed the camera view was from that camera that flies over the stadium. You know, I was looking down on the play. The Eagles' offensive line was like a freaking snowplow. Just went and literally pushed the defense back 3 yards. It was the most beautiful thing to see. If you like offensive line play, it was one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. They just literally like a plow, just was sheer power. I think they're just really good. I hate them. I hate the Eagles personally as a team. I hate the whole NFC East, to be honest with you. But I think the Eagles are just way better team this year. So yeah, they're gonna win big.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys that they have the deeper roster. But at the most important position in the sport, I think the Chiefs have a big advantage. So I am actually going to go with the Chiefs here in a close one. I think 27-24 Chiefs, which will also coincide with my MVP, I think. But we'll go into that in a moment. Rud Dog, what do you think?
My prediction is that the Lions will score more points when we win the Super Bowl than either team in this one. That's my prediction. I think it's the Eagles. I agree with you, Jay. It's just a better all-around team. It's going to make up for, you know, I don't think Hurts is bad either. I think he's good enough with his skill set and where he's at and his maturity to, you know, use all the weapons around him and including his legs, you know. They're right now the prototype, the model of what I feel like so everyone's going for, like when you're building an NFL team, is a stacked offensive line, a bunch of fast, good receivers, a good tight end, whatever, good running backs, a quarterback who can, you know, pass the ball well from the pocket, but also, you know, be a weapon on himself with his legs, and they have it all. They're just a hard team to stop because of that. And then you got defense. They're stacked across the board. Good corners on both sides, good safeties, linebackers, D-line. I just don't see a weakness on them. And, you know, it's football. It's a game. You got to play it. But I just think they have the edge.
All right. But Rudda, you got to give us a score. And I'm on NFLScoregami.com. That's and I have for you every. You can see my screen, right?
Nope.
Oh, you can't? Okay. Okay. Hold on. Let me share my screen for
you.
You can't see it?
Oh, there
okay,
we
now
go.
You can see it, right?
Ooh, it's like a
all right. Thing. So I'm on NFL, and if you're listening, I'm on NFLScoregami.com. You can go to it, NFLScoregami.com, and it will show you all the scores in green that have hit historically, and all the ones in white that have not yet in the NFL. So, Rud Dog, you said that this game will have a score got me. Those are 18-1 odds for the Super Bowl. So
I didn't understand it before. Now so I finally get the stat.
So say, okay, but now that you do.
Well, I was going to say,
what will be the score of the Super Bowl that has not yet occurred in NFL history?
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is that when you said score got me, a scoreless never happened. I thought you meant like a way of scoring or something. Like, I don't know. Like a type of touchdown from like a certain yards or something. I don't know. Like a unique score. Anyway,
22-11. We have 20-11. 18-11.
Let me see here. Hold on. Let me see. Where's a bunch of whites?
29-12. We have 70-8. You know, 70. What are we feeling?
Yeah.
I don't see why we don't have more of the 70s.
There's a 70-27. I don't know who that. Let's see who that was. Can I see? That was in 1950, a 70-27 score between the Los Angeles Rams and the Baltimore Colts.
Wow. How about that? I got to check this.
Who said they didn't score back then in the 50s?
This is pretty cool.
Usually you see like 3-2 scores back then.
Very few shutouts in the Super Bowl. Let's see here. I'm going to go with...
Just pick something. Hard. Holy
cow. Yeah, just pick something. Who cares?
Calm down.
39-12? Is that good?
Don't push me, bro. 32.
Winning team 30. So
32-10. Eagles.
32-11, you mean?
No, let's go 12.
All right. 32-12. That's Rud Dog's scoregami. Eagles win 32-12.
All
four
right.
Field goals. For the Chiefs and four touchdowns and four extra.
It's going to be Devonta Smith just going off mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And who thinks?
Oh, have you guys ever heard of an octopus?
Yeah, they're these animals that live in the ocean. They have eight legs and tentacles.
Yeah, they're cool. They got eight legs.
An octopus you can bet on too. Will a player have an octopus in this game? That means you score a touchdown and you get the 2-point conversion on the same drive. Ooh, that is called an octopus.
On the same drive.
I believe the odds for that are 30-1 last I checked. So I never heard of it, actually, when I was scrolling through all these, though. But really quick, MVP of the Super Bowl. Mine is obviously Patrick Mahomes. I think you can tell just from my previous analysis. I think if they win this game, it is on his shoulders. But Rud Dog, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Devonta Smith.
All right.
He was
31-1.
The MVP of his national championship game. Now he's going to. He's going to play fully healthy through this game, and he's going to be the weapon that makes the difference.
He's 31-1. So that's if he wins, then good.
I get 31 times zero. Let's go.
Woo! Okay. UJ.
Mahomes' counterpart, Jalen Hurts, the MVP.
All right. Mahomes and Hurts are
but you're picking
plus 130.
Mahomes?
I'm picking Hurts.
He's picking Hurts. He's picking Mahomes' counterpart.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you cut out. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So they're both Mahomes and Hurts are both plus 130. Some more interesting ones: AJ Brown 18-1, Travis Kelce 16-1. If you like the defensive side, Hassan Reddick we mentioned 34-1. Chris Jones on the Kansas City 50-1.
50.
If you think it's going to be a defensive game, then Chris Jones might be really good value. The last defensive player to win it, do you guys know?
No.
Manti Te'o.
No. Damn. He doesn't even play in the
Super Bowl. Who was it?
It's Von Miller.
Oh, Von Miller. Yeah, okay.
He was 25-1, which is actually pretty low for a defense player, but that was a really good defense. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. This is our Super Bowl preview / I'm talking about things that have happened from the end of the season to the Super Bowl here in terms of coaching. Let's hope Aaron Glenn stays around for one more year. So then you get he kind of more pick where he wants to go rather than just hoping he gets it.
Yeah.
Because if he's getting hired, then that means we had a good year. So
if he gets offered this year, he's not going to come back probably.
No.
Probably. I mean, like, you don't get those don't come around more than once very often.
Hey, aren't you guys curious about how much of a raise Johnson got to stay with the Lions? I haven't seen it published anywhere. But I guess he got
Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I guess he got a nice payday for staying with the Lions. But
I'm sure he did.
I don't
sure
know. I'm just curious what it is. Aren't you
come back, curious? But at the same price, please.
I'm wondering if he just understood that, like, the interviews were going to be fruitless anyway or something and just decided to use it to leverage for a raise.
I mean, the Panthers were really interested in him. So
interesting.
I just think he had a lot of choices down the road.
It's such a
he's so young and he's
vote of confidence in what we're doing.
It is. Oh, yeah. Very much.
Absolutely. And glad owner, because, oh, I mean, that's outside the salary cap, so that comes out of ownership's pocket, the coaching staff salary. So
right.
Good
right.
on them to keep them in the house.
Hey, you know, I watched a thing recently about Sheila Ford, and she's pretty awesome. Like, and it's interesting about why, like, things are so different now. Like, she's the first Ford owner where this is her sole focus. Like, her dad or, like, and, like, her grandfathers and all the men were all, like, business owners who own Ford Auto and like they were, you know, tycoons. She's the first, this is her whole thing. She wanted to do this since she was like a kid. She's been around the culture. She went to camps. Like, I thought it was just really interesting that it makes sense now why she's, you know, why things are just different because you actually have an interested, engaged owner who cares. And on top of that, she has a really interesting upbringing and she's been kind of groomed for this. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Exciting times ahead. And we hope everybody listening has a great Super Bowl Sunday. You know, get your best dips out, best appetizers, chicken, meat, whatever it may be.
Buffalo chicken.
Whiskey. Everyone remember to do your visualizing of when this is the Lions. We need to actualize it. We need to all meditate for at least a good 15 minutes on Sunday to visualize, to make it come to life.
And make sure you take the day off ahead of time.
That's how we make it happen.
Get Monday off.
Did you guys see in Tennessee that they have a bill? So they're trying to replace Columbus Day. They're trying to move Columbus Day, the holiday.
Oh, really?
To basically no more Columbus Day, but make it. You get off on Super Bowl Monday, the day after Super Bowl.
Finally, someone's getting smart. This is awesome.
Why did old Columbus Day? I don't get why
just
you
just make
have
move Columbus Day to the day.
I don't know, but that's what they're doing. It's at least a bill in Congress. It hasn't been passed yet. But
what in United States Congress or what? You said state.
Oh, right? I'm sorry. State Congress of Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. So the, okay.
It's another reason to move to Tennessee.
There you go. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Also, I'll give that one out later. But right now, Twitter and Instagram, follow us on there. We keep updating that, things of that nature. Apple, Spotify, regular podcast. Please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. We love your feedback. And thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting a podcast.
Love you guys.
We really appreciate them. And then, of course, we want to thank our producer, KJ.
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 KJ. All right. Not our best, not our worst. Brandon, that was all right. But anyways, Sunday, everybody, stay safe. Have a great Sunday. Relax. We'll probably be back in a couple weeks getting ready to ramp up our, you know, we'll react to the Super Bowl a little bit. Any other Lions news, but really we're ramping up for draft season. As it rapidly approaches at the end.
My advice to you all, in the words of the late John Belushi in the Animal House, my advice to you is drink heavily.
Is that a quote from Animal House?
Yeah, man. You never seen that movie? You remember when they destroyed his car?
I'm just trying to remember.
I've been watching it a while. His brother was going to be mad at him because he destroyed his car. He goes, my view, drink heavily. That's what I'm going to leave
you with. Listen to your elders,
kids. On Super Bowl Sunday.
Drink the Kool-Aid heavily, you mean, right?
Yeah, but be responsible and all that other shit.
That's what he did. Didn't he say that in the movie? Didn't he say drink the blue Kool-Aid heavily?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, so that'll wrap it up for us. Thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions!
down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.